Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. I pray that we will have a special moment this morning as we worship and listen to the Word of God. And as I shared before, I don't follow the lectionary. And I try to listen to God's voice speaking to me through many different ways. A lot of times God inspires me. Other times I go through a special experience that inspired me. But over the years, over 40 years in ministry, and I've been preaching all this time, I have learned that God used all those circumstances to give me the message that I need to hear, and also at the same time, you need to hear. And today's message is about our spiritual reality with the devil in our lives, and I pray that we will be able to hear the word of God and be able to discern our spiritual condition we are in today. An American explorer went to the African jungle to capture the legendary King Kong, hoping to generate a fortune. He searched for it for months, but no King Kong was in sight. One night, a loud thump woke him up. When he opened his eyes, a towering ape stared and pointed his massive finger at him. Overwhelmed by fear, the explorer ran for his life, and King Kong set off in hot pursuit. No matter how fast he ran, the sound of King Kong's pounding footsteps and menacing roar was only ever about 100 yards behind. For 3 long days and nights, the explorer ran through Africa and reached the coast. There were no ships in sight for an easy escape, so he realized the only option was to dive into the sea, hoping King Kong couldn't swim. But to his horror, the gorilla jumped straight in after him and demonstrated an excellent front crawl. The weary explorer managed to swim across the Atlantic and arrive in New York. He scrambled ashore with as much energy as he could muster, only to see the menacing King Kong still beating his chest ferociously and with steam coming from his nostrils right behind him. As luck would have it, the explorer took a wrong turn and ended up down a dead end with 20-foot-high wall. With nowhere left to run, he sank to his knees in despair and pleaded to King Kong, "Do whatever you want with me. Kill me, eat me, whatever. Just put me out of my misery." King Kong stalked slowly over to the cowering explorer, prodded him with a giant finger, and growled, "You are it." Do you get the joke? Well, that was my message. The giant ape in hot pursuit of the explorer portrayed our spiritual reality, which we may not be aware of as we should. What is our spiritual reality? We have a spiritual enemy, the devil, who always try to harm our emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical well-being. Peter's personal experiences and knowledge are very informative to teach about the common spiritual enemy for every believer, the deceptive operation of Satan and Satan's main purpose. Firstly, let us look at how bitter the satanic attack was to Peter. The apostles writing pastoral letters to diaspora Christians was commonly practiced in the early church as they endeavored to lay the foundation for Christ's churches. Their letters contained essential doctrines, problem management such as heresies and immoralities, encouragement to remain strong despite persecutions, and so on. Thereby, the epistles, that is the letters, had weighty content. Peter wrote two pastoral letters, and his letters was not exception. He wrote letters to five areas in today's Turkey that contain serious teachings on Christian lifestyle in a pagan society, suffering in doing good, among many others. Think about the magnitude of his message. The two letters he wrote, the first letter was longer and more serious than his second letter. So the first part of it had more serious messages, right? Now, in terms of the seriousness, the last part of the first letter in chapter 5 we just read was to be the most serious among all his messages that he wanted to communicate with his people. You know, when people write letters, when they write letters, they would usually conclude their letters with something more meaningful than anything before bidding farewell, right? So Peter put more important content on his first letter, and then his concluding part of the first letter was more serious than the rest of the letter that he wrote. What did Peter end his first letter with? That's what we're going to focus on. Verses 10 through 13, as you can tell, are a formal ending of his letter. Verses 10 and 11 are his benediction. Verse 12, recognize Silas. It has a different name there, but we usually know it as Silas, who wrote down what Peter dictated. That's how Peter wrote his letters. Verse 13, recognize those who stayed with Peter, and ends with an additional benediction. So that's the formal ending, right? So the main part of Peter's letter ends in verses 8 and 9. And that's what the most serious message that Peter wanted to communicate with to me. That's how I look at it. What did Peter say in verse 8? Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Why was this so important to Peter? Did Peter have any reason that prompted him to say this at the end of his letter that's supposed to be the most serious message? It caused him a lot of pain to learn about how the devil operated in his life. He inadvertently fell for the devil's scheme in a couple of instances that embarrassed him terribly before Jesus. On one occasion, Jesus asked his disciples, "What do you think about me?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, Christ, the Son of the living God." After Peter revealed Jesus' true identity, Jesus predicted his suffering, death, and resurrection. And Peter immediately rebuked Jesus, saying, "Never, Lord, this will never happen to you." Jesus responded to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concern." Peter blurted out something that was in agreement with Satan, who plotted the failure of Jesus' redemptive mission on earth. And Jesus had to straighten out Peter. Peter's second embarrassing moment happened during the Last Supper. Jesus told Peter in the presence of the 12, you know, all the disciples, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to shift all of you as wheat, your whole being as wheat, and you will deny me three times." You know, by that time, by the end of Jesus' ministry, Peter was recognized as the top leader among the 12. Peter was a man of pride, and hearing what Jesus said, he just could not tolerate. He assured that he would never commit such a despicable crime. But what happened? Several hours later, Peter fell into Satan's scheme and denied Jesus, and Peter broke down and wept after his denials. Peter's concluding remark in his first letter gives clues about how badly Peter felt about those instances. Peter wrote the first letter, 1 Peter, around 62 and 64, about three decades after Jesus' ascension. Right? 30 years passed after Jesus ascended into heaven. Peter, during the time, became the pastor in charge of Jerusalem church, the first pope according to Catholic tradition. But those two instances were unforgettable events and stuck out like a sore thumb to Peter. Those bitter moments reminded Peter of the spiritual reality that he learned quickly that every believer faces. In verse 9, Peter said, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." The family of believers throughout the world include you and I. You and I are not exception. Peter was tempted. He fell for it. And we are not exception. Now let us look at the importance of spiritual discernment. Peter opposed Jesus' suffering and death because Peter respected and cared for Jesus and could not tolerate injustice that would be done to Jesus. What Peter said made perfect sense from the human perspective. But Jesus pointed out that Peter lacked God's concern. We often think like Peter. We are really good at understanding matters from a human perspective, but lack spiritual insight. Let's take an example of the church. We see attractive buildings, a lovely landscape, and a beautiful sanctuary. This is what people out in the community can see as well. It takes spiritual eyes to see if our church is firmly founded in the scriptures, if we are Christ-centered, if the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are devoted to prayer. The latter is much more important than the physical appearances. So what does that teach us? the importance how we look at things, should look at things from spiritual perspectives. Let us be observant about how we look at things, not looking from Peter's perspective, but from Jesus's, lest we fall for the devil's scheme. Peter's blooper teaches us another important lesson about how cunningly the devil attacks us. In his own right, Peter had a pure motive, good intention, and a concern for Jesus. However, Peter was oblivious, completely oblivious, that he opposed God's redemptive plan through Jesus. The devil used a stealthy tactic to attack Peter, and Peter did not know. Being stealthy is how today's advanced military engages in battle. But Satan was masterful in deceiving and being stealthy from the beginning, and still is. It would be easy for us to discern and detect Satan's scheme if Satan attacked us as King Kong chased the explorer. But the satanic attack often comes in disguise when and where we do not put our guard against it. The most vulnerable area of this kind of attack is our heart. For Satan can sneak easily into our hearts. And our hearts are where we store all the heavenly treasures from Jesus, such as faith, joy of living, and God's peace. You know, if you feel like that, you don't find peace in your heart, you know what that means? It doesn't mean that God has not given you the peace. God has. God always gives you a peace. But you let this devil steal peace from your heart. Joseph Winger contributed an article, Our Call to Arms, in Discipleship Journal, as follows. I was part of a church visitation team that had just spent 20 minutes explaining the gospel to a tender-hearted woman. When I asked her, "Are you ready to receive Christ as your Lord?" she responded, "Yes, I am." I said, "Then simply pray after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son." She started repeating, "Father, I thank." But before she could finish, her car, parked nearby, started honking. The noise of the horn was so deafening that the woman could not hear my prayer. We went to her car to investigate. We opened the hood, beat on the horn, and finally shut it up. Only then was I able to resume praying with this woman, but it was a struggle for her to focus again. Many Christians would conclude that a mechanical failure had set up the horn. It's possible. But I saw the interruption as a subtle demonic hindrance to distract this would-be believer from the gospel message. From a human perspective, the sudden noise was just a random event. But from the spiritual perspective, the devil, in disguise, was hindering the woman from having faith, and when she decided to dedicate her life to being Christ's follower. Let us be aware that no one is immune from the satanic attack. Even Jesus was tempted. Let us realize Satan's purpose. Satan always trying to destroy our faith by planting doubts and dark spirits in there, in our hearts. Lastly, Satan knows the most vulnerable area is our hearts. Satan tried to shift our heart like wheat. Solomon said, guarding hearts is our primary task. Let us guard our heart by being alert and sober. Amen.